So you think that this would have been the way that it would have happened if the 12 guys came back and said, hey, yeah, let's go. I think, you know, the Lord has his plan A.
Right.
And he's going to have plan A. We may, you know, prevent it for a little while. And it's, you know, takes about 6,000 years or 7,000 years for the Lord to just let man go ahead and, you know, do his thing and, you know, mess everything up. But the Lord has plan A. And we're going to see that with the way things happen are the way things were planned from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he always knows about, you know, how we're going to mess things up, like at the golden calf and then, you know, going being spies in the land and then later on splitting the kingdom after Solomon dies. And then, you know, he knows all about those things.
That's our phone.
Yeah. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I had a little difficulty of why Yahweh would allow Rahab to be such a, I guess this was how she and her family were going to be saved. But, you know, Rahab was a prostitute, and I don't know, just the story of it, I haven't ever got real peace over that yet, although she must have been a pretty nice lady, other than she was a prostitute.
Do you
hear what I'm saying?
Do you think she was a prostitute after she became an Israelite?
I don't know.
I doubt it, because when you become an Israelite, you repent of what you were when you were a Gentile.
But did she repent? Although she put the red rope or cord, you know, in her window, knowing that the Israelites were going to save she and her family. I just wondered
about that. She talked about it.
You know,
she believed in fear.
I was wondering about the rope. It's what I read.
Mark says he has a thought.
Go ahead, Mark.
Actually, a couple of thoughts. One, I've heard it said that it's very likely that that word translated prostitute is really innkeeper. I haven't done the deep dive myself on that, but there's a wing of scholars that would say it really shouldn't be prostitute, it should be innkeeper. So why they call it a prostitute in the New Testament, I don't know. But that's a thought. I don't know many prostitutes that, I guess I don't know any prostitutes, period. But I was going to say I don't know many prostitutes that have such good relationships with their mother and father. My other thought, and let's go into, you know, incorrect thinking that you're not supposed to think, is prostitution forbidden in the Torah or the Tanakh? It's looked down upon, but is it forbidden? Is there a law against it?
If you're a Levite, yes.
Okay.
Forbidden.
You want to? You're going to.
It works.
But
I spent 2 days without sleep.
Okay, go ahead, Alan. Go ahead. Do you need to go also, Bob?
Oh.
Okay, you can stay. But go ahead. I'm glad you came.
I'm happy to see you again.
We are happy to see you again.
My first day to spend it yesterday, and the first day of Shabbat as alone. To repenting.
Okay.
Because I hear that if I stay with the commandment, God will heal me from my sickness.
You're special.
I am
Alan, you're special.
Thank you.
So come back.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
You better.
All right, bye.
Hey, you better.
I have a comment. It's Elisa.
Okay.
We have
one moment.
Just hang on, Elisa, because we've got a meeting here. And then Rick had his hand up all this time. And so we're going to answer Mark's question about Rahab. So Rick, Elisa, and then me.
I just need to say that thank you, Mark, for telling us about your research on the definition of this prostitute or
innkeeper.
Being an innkeeper. I did do some research on it and never found innkeeper. So thank you for sharing that.
Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, if you are a Levite and you a daughter of a Levite, and she was caught in prostitution, that it was a death sentence by burning. So that's, but it doesn't say so in anybody else. But the Levite, the daughter of a Levite, this was considered like a high office. So this is how we know that we are considered as priests in under Melchizedek, because the next thing is a trial by fire. So all of us on this side of the flood are considered priests under Melchizedek because of Noah was the next in line, and then Shem was passed down. He was the order of Melchizedek. So all of us, if we are in sin of prostitution, that's not just a physical sexual relationship. That is idolatry through that in the temple worship of idols, that they were caught doing that.
Go ahead.
That they were caught in that act, they would be burned. Everybody else in adultery situation, they were stoned. I don't know. I think stoning would have been probably a better way of going out than being burned.
I think so.
So I had another comment, but I can hold on to that one.
Okay, Elisa, go ahead.
I was just going to add to that, a prostitute is just, she's lying with all these different men, and she's also committing adultery. I can't see that staying in the camp or anywhere of that sort, because she would be branded and just totally, you know, let go of. You can't do that. That's also like what he was saying, burning or stoning, either way, you're going to die. Because God is a God of order, and he's not going to have a prostitute going from man to man and also from husband to husband. And that, to me, is just pretty much a sin, period.
Well, and also it says in Deuteronomy 23:18 that you shall not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vow. For even both these are abomination to the Lord your God. So you're not allowed to bring, if you're a prostitute, you're not allowed to bring the money that you make to Yahweh. And it says in verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomites of the sons of Israel, and the word there looks to be different. That word for whore is the Kedeshah, the female devotee, which is a temple priestess. So whether you are a temple priestess whore or a Zanah streetwalking idolater whore, you're not allowed in Israel.
And what was that last reference, Kimberly? What was that last preference, Kimberly?
Oh.
Okay, now you can go back on.
Okay, so James said, though, that Rahab was justified by her works, because James is making the case that if you have faith in Yeshua, that you will express your faith by your works. Well, apparently, she got a case of the I believe in Yahweh.
Huh.
So she expressed it through her works. So therefore, she would not have continued being a prostitute in my mind, because she converted from being Gentile to being Israelite.
Okay, Linda got something.
Go ahead, Linda.
My question is, here's Linda. In that time, was it possible for women to have a business she were an innkeeper?
Well, we don't know, because we don't know a lot about the customs of the people of Jericho. They're not, those customs are not spoken of. But there were many ancient cultures that allowed women to do a lot of things. And even the Bible does not prohibit a woman from owning a business.
I don't know how to raise my hand here, but Michelle has a comment.
Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
Hello. I think it's very interesting here that we are, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's very interesting here that we're all talking about, you know, Rahab, whatever her name is, how she's a prostitute, but no one talks about how the 12 spies ended up at her house.
I know.
Whose cars ended up at her house? I think this should be looked at. You know, there were a lot of houses to choose from, but yet they go to the whorehouse. What's that about?
Well,
but we have for the king sent them. The king had something to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that here.
In the book of Jasher, it explains why they ended up in the whorehouse.
Oh,
it was that the king suspected Israelites to be there, and knowing how the Israelites' faiths were, that was the last place he would look for them.
Ah, that's good.
That is a good explanation.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cover story to me, though.
That's what we're thinking. So I have another thought. Was that here we have a what apparently is two different sides of the same coin. One is here to get to go into the land and to give an opportunity to look at to see how the land is, what the layout is, where the good land is, where the deserts are, where, you know, trees and grapes and all these things. And they had the physical touch of the land. It was on their shoes. It was on everything that they had. It was on everything. They didn't go through, they just said they went down on the mountain, from the mountain, descended into the land. So they didn't get wet. They didn't go through it. And yet, on here we go into Joshua, we have the men having to go through the water ordeal. And then they got into the land, into Jericho, the very first place, and went in, looked at what the situation was, went into this harlot's house, and the witness wasn't them other than the reputation of Yahweh already preceded them. It was as if they just crossed the river, not the river, but the Dead Sea. And then they conquered the two kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan. And they heard about it. It was almost like nothing happened in between the time. It was like it was instantaneous to them. It was like, here's the people that came out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. What are we going to do? They were shaking in their boots. The reputation and the fear of Yahweh was on them.
Well, and the reputation of fear of God got on them because they went in the end of this book of Numbers. They're going to go to war, and they're going to kick some, King Og and Balaam and the king of the Midianites and the Moabites. They're going to be kicking those people around a bit, kicking their butts, so to speak. And, those people on the eastern side of Jordan were fearsome. Og, with how big he was, I think that's where we get the word ogre, you know. He definitely would definitely have shaken the people on the west side of the Jordan River. Go ahead, Yaakov.
Okay, Linda, you have your hand up.
Yeah. I'm just thinking it's interesting how the people of Jericho knew that there were these two Israelites that went to Rahab. How quickly they found that out.
Excuse me, this is Cheryl. What I said a while ago about the king, I misunderstood what anyway, forget that.
So,
I was wrong.
Linda, are you wondering why the story got into the Bible?
No. She meant how the men got to Rahab.
Oh,
well,
that's
what Michelle was asking.
No, I was saying that the people of Jericho, they went to Rahab and said, I know you have these two Israelites there, or not. They said two visitors.
Well, I got an answer for that. You got to remember, the city wasn't as big as like New York or Amsterdam or big cities like we know today that have millions and millions of people. If you look at the old city in Jerusalem, it's not that big. And yet the word could get around like that, like wildfire. You know, somebody came in, we don't know who they are, here they are, we know where they went, and the king gets word of it. But you notice they didn't do anything until the king gave orders?
They had that they were Israelites.
What?
Say it again, please.
aware that they were Israelites?
Yeah.
And they probably looked a little bit different than the people in the city.
Yeah, they dressed differently.
I have a comment, Lisa.
Okay.
I think that bottom line is they ended up there because, you know, your steps are ordered by him, by God, and he sent them there because she and her family were going to get saved and be part of the family of God.
I absolutely agree with you, Alicia. The thing is, the Bible is written in cyclic cycle patterns. And what we see here and what we read later on the prophecies are related if you look at the bigger picture. And in Isaiah, God says, who am like me who declares the end from the beginning? So everything in the beginning of the Bible is related to stuff happening in the middle and to the end of the Bible. So everything is following a pattern which tell us certain things. And Rahab can represent the lost Israelites as they went whoring after idols.
That's good.
For instance.
And, right. And when Caleb and Joshua, the Ephraimites, the reunited house back together, the 12 tribes go into the land, what might they find there? Well, they may find there's some enemies there. That's why there has to be an Armageddon. You know, we can talk about the chronology of when stuff's going to happen, but there's going to still be stuff, bad stuff happening in the land. But it might just be that some of those whoring people will help the cause of Israel taking the land again. And it will be counted to them
as righteousness.
Now keep in mind, a lot of the people in Jerusalem is Christians, it's churches.
Yes.
We tend to forget that it's not just the house of Judah and Jews. Christianity is very strong in Jerusalem.
They're both doing whoring.
Yes.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
I have a big question. So we have around where we live right now a lot of Muslim people, Islamic, and they are quick to do good things for the tourists, but those that have moved here, they do good things for us. So those things are counted for righteousness.
I don't know. It's not my place to know that. It's above my pay grade.
But it was for Rahab.
Yes. But she had converted to being Israelite, too.
But it doesn't say that.
Well, she had to have, because she escaped from Jericho, and she was with the Israelites from then on.
Yeah.
So are they converting to Israel?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, Mark. She has unmuted.
Mark?
Within Islam, I'm not saying before the eyes of Yahweh, but within Islam, to be hospitable is a very, very important thing. It's held in very high esteem. And those being hospitable to strangers gives you merit points in the eyes of Allah, of course. So,
yeah.
That's your local question.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions?
Before we move on, how do I raise my hand? Answer me that question, please.
You're supposed to be muted all the time, and the moment you unmute, I take it as you want to speak.
Okay. I will mute myself. And unmuting is raising my hand then, right?
Yes.
So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, and who is next in line to read? Is it Michelle?
No. Linda, is Heinz going to read?
Well, and also Alicia Buff has it read. She read? Okay.
Yeah, Alicia read. Ephesians 1,
6.
6, verses 10 to 18. And the
yes,
same
Heinz.
Okay, Heinz is going to read.
Okay, Heinz read. Okay, good. So can he read all 8 verses, 9 verses? It's 10 to 18.
Okay.
You start here.
Children, obey your parents.
Wait a minute. Sorry.
No, 10. Yeah, that's right. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand ground, and after you have done everything, you stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Any comments?
I have one. It's Elisa. I think it's very important to always have this armor on at all times, especially when you start out your day, because the enemy's waiting for you to get up so he can start his havoc to have your ears closed when you can't hear the Spirit. So this armor is only on the front also, because Elohim's got your back, and he's never expected you to run from the enemy who's already lost the battle and the war. So I tell people that I minister to, why are you helping the devil or Satan get you into oppression or into fear when he's already lost that battle, and you're going to bring him back into the ring again to fight you when you've already won?
I think it's called faith.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Something about this it struck a chord, because what we've been going through with Yaakov and his visa, and then yesterday we had our custom is to have like a congregational blessing, and in that was the section just before this in Ephesians. Yeah. And I said this ties very well with what we're going through now. The enemy over the last year is trying to dismantle, disrupt, causing discord among all of us in the community, where people are, some might even consider going back. Some people were saying that we weren't going to meet together, we weren't going to do this. You know, you hear all this in the background. So, and some didn't want to go through certain procedures that we needed to deal with a certain problem in our own community. So we have all these different thoughts and ideas going on. This is nothing more than the enemy trying to get through the chink of the armor or the backside to take us out. Because when we're arguing and fighting and not coming together in harmony, the enemy has a heyday with it. It says to stand fast in the King James.
Yeah.
Stand fast. When you've done everything else, stand fast. Don't let the enemy take one inch away from what God has given you today. He tells you to stand. What do you tell them at the crossing of the Red Sea? He says, why are you complaining to me? You go forward. And he said, what? Go forward. And he told them exactly what to do. Stand up over here, set your arms up, Moses, and the sea split. And they walked through it. He didn't have a way for them to go forward. There was Egyptians on that side. To go backwards toward the sea meant that they would die. But what they were doing was they were going through that last test, which is the water ordeal. They survived the water ordeal. Our forefathers survived the water ordeal going through the sea. They stood firm. They walked through. They pressed on. They went to the other side. The Egyptians tried to do the same thing, but they did not have what we had, which was God on our side, because his reputation was on the line. He said, you're not going to pass this water ordeal. You condemned them to death. Now you're dead. That was the end of that you ever saw from them again. This goes on and on throughout all the scriptures from the beginning to the end. We have victory, but we have to stand firm. Stand our ground. Do not back up. Do not retreat. Stay on the alarm, because the enemy is after us today.
stand on his word. Yeah.
I have also another comment. There is strength in numbers. And when you become part of a family, you're going to stand up for your family. And the main thing is storms always come, but they can't stay. They will pass. But they pass when you stand your ground and you're rooted and you're anchored. That's nothing's going to move that. I don't care how high a wind, how high a water or whatever. The enemy cannot uproot what God has planted.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a comment. I want to point out that, I've often said that the New Testament is commentary on the Old. There's nothing new in the New Testament that is not in the Old Testament. Sometimes commentators, when expounding on the Tanakh, on the Old Testament, they will provide some additional information. And one of the things that we have here in Ephesians 6 is that in verse 17, it says in Isaiah 59:17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance," that's all, other armor that you wear for clothing, "and was clad with zeal as a cloak." And so Paul is here expounding, giving additional commentary on Paul's thoughts about Isaiah. What Isaiah is talking about, being clad with your armor. Isaiah said it, but Paul is giving it to us again, just like Isaiah said, in chapter 1, describing the old sick man. Paul talks about the new man. He's been healed by the stripes of Yeshua.
Linda, you had something.
Well, I was getting back to what I think Alicia was talking about, or whoever was talking about how Satan discourages and tries to put blocks in our way and so forth. It's just that Heinz and I have been thinking of moving to Jordan. And we do have a lot of obstacles to overcome and to work out, but we were confident that we will, go through it if that's what God wants us to do. And then just yesterday, it was interesting that we heard that the airlines are now going to require everybody to be vaccinated before you can go on an airplane. And that was like a slap in the face at first. And I thought, oh no, we're not going to do that. And so that was like, all of a sudden, what happened to my faith? You know, God can take care of that as well, But it was at the moment I thought, oh, that is an obstacle again, but we just have to wait and see what God works out.
Yeah.
This is Elisa. I want to say something again. This is a situation against all odds. It doesn't matter if they have massive troops or whatever trying to stop you. If God's going to send you that way and it's his order, nothing is going to stop that. I don't care how many storms there are. You just keep your stand and you will get there. That's it.
Amen.
It's called Conference Pass. And when they give people the vaccination, they'll have an app on their phone that they will swipe at various locations for airlines, hotels, restaurants, and they're going to start doing it in stores and other places. It's part of the thing to keep you from buying and selling if you have not taken the mark of the beast.
Wow.
So people have asked me, Kimberly, do you really think this is the mark of the beast? And I have said, well, I don't know if this one is or if it is a precursor I'm getting closer to saying this one is the mark of the beast because it changes your DNA. It puts electronics, nanobots, in your body that never come out, that subject you to whatever messages are sent up by the 5G that they're putting up all over the world. And without it, you can't travel, you can't shop, you're done. You can't pay for your rent because guess what they're going to do? Everything is going to be done virtually online to protect those poor tellers in the bank from you going in there and spreading your disease to them. So you're going to do all your banking online, and if you haven't been vaccinated, how can you be allowed to do the banking? They're using this to take away everything.
It's a slippery slope, okay, you guys, and it's called time. When you see a sign in the road that says 35 miles an hour as you go into an American small town, you don't slam on the brakes immediately, but you know you need to slow down before you see the police, right?
Yeah.
So you're seeing signs now. You can still come. You can still stick a swab down your nose and get a negative test. What if my test is positive and it's fake? Well, whatever. What if they give it to me? That's not the same thing as a vaccine. A virus and a vaccine are not the same thing. Just so you know. And you guys, and all of you, have time to get over here at some point until you don't. So well, how is that? I don't know. That's what he hasn't told us.
It's moving fast.
But it's moving fast. And for some reason, I'm the sales guy. And I don't know. I'm just letting you guys know right now. I don't know if you want to wait until you see a Nephilim invasion and everybody's going, oh, they're space gods. And then it's like, oh, we're going to go to Jordan now. We don't know how bad it's going to get before that happens. We don't know what these wars are going to be like. Just follow the headlines. Follow everything out of the Middle East. Netanyahu is already cozy with the Saudis. They just killed, I know Shabbat, but they just killed the guy at the beginning of Shabbat, the main nuclear scientist for Iran. He's dead. He's assassinated.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long anybody has anywhere. It's the frog is boiling. Do what you can. That doesn't mean like we have some like prepper community over here because we don't. We're just people that are showing up and trying to do the best that we can. But we know from the scripture, even though it doesn't make sense in human eyes, he told us where to go, that there's locations for when these things occur. The situation on the ground is fluid. There's troops moving in and out of here all the time. This whole area is covered in military, so anything at any time can happen. How am I going to get over here? What if I have to get... I want to lean with you and go, well, this is the mark. Whatever it is, it's a transition, okay? Because things are chronological here in the flesh realm. It happens over a period of time. So you have to move while you, quote, have the time. But in the end, Yahweh knows what you're going to do anyway, so...
Say, Linda, got something.
Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, I have a responsibility for my handicapped son as a conservator. I have been trying for the last year to give it up, but I have not been successful yet. I hope that, and I'm praying that God would make it possible that I would be relieved of this duty very shortly. I just gave notice to the government court that I want to give it up as quickly as possible. So that means they have to find somebody to replace me. That's how it goes. I have to stay into this this position until I am relieved of it. Otherwise, my son has nobody to vouch for him and take care of his needs. So that's one thing that I hope will be shortly taken care of. It's up to God to work it out. I've been working on it, like I said, for the last year, and nothing has come up to find a replacement. And so now I'm asking the court to find a replacement, and how quickly that will be, that's up to God. I have to see. Yeah, I have to wait for that. First of all, we have it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to leave our son behind. It's a hard thing, but we have to do it if it's God's will.
Well, We all have left our children.
It's yep. My turn. I've got my hand up.
I know. Go ahead.
Linda, this is Michael. The things that come up with almost everybody is the children. Is there anybody here that doesn't have children that you had to leave behind?
Well, you left.
Yeah, my son's in the Army. He listened to zero things I told him about any of this.
So there's two that don't have children. The rest of us have left children behind. And mine won't pay any attention to me whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they don't even talk to me. One of the big hurdles is if you don't have an income.
Yeah.
And I don't have a real answer for that, although Rick came over here with next to nothing. And they struggled and struggled, and now just here recently in the last few months, Rick has started drawing his Social Security, and you're fine now, right?
Yeah, we're making it.
Okay. But if you do not have income, then that's a real problem because there doesn't seem to be much of a way. Now, there's some people that can teach. But I'm going to get off of that. The bottom line is, if you don't have an income, it's difficult. Now,
we are in pension. We get pensions.
Okay, then you're fine.
Something to add.
You're not going to talk until I get pensions.
I was next, but I thought you were done.
No, I'm not done.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Something to add to that. When we came over, Hannah was drawing disability, so we're able to make things work. That and I was able to get teaching jobs. But here's the thing. I've been in places where I had no income and Yahweh still provided for me. So I don't have a doubt in my mind that if somebody comes over here and they don't have the income, like Yaakov, he had a job and then that's gone. But there's always a way and a possibility. There's another family that's here. Right now, they had nothing when they came here. He had an idea and a concept. But that fell apart. But Yahweh always provided a way for him to stay here. So I'm not trying to sell the point, but I'm just saying, be faithful to what he's called you to do. If he said, come over, then come over. If he said, stay a little while longer, it's not quite time, then listen to what he says and do what he says when he says to do it.
Well, God expects us to be responsible people, and I have a responsibility as conservator for my son. I have to pass that on to somebody else before I can go. I cannot leave until that is taken care of, and I'm ready to do it. We're both ready to make a change. And it is very easy to leave our house. We have friends that we rent from, and we can leave one day and then leave the house. It's okay with them. And they would take care of getting rid of everything. They would take care of the needs of whatever. So that's already something that we worked out some years ago. So we can leave the house and everything behind. That's already not an issue, can say. But the only issue right now is taking care of my son before I leave. Money-wise, it's just a matter of how to work it out. That's where we need help managing. I don't do online banking, these things. I'm scared of, and so something has to be worked out there. But these, for me, I know that can be worked out. That is with your help, with somebody who knows how to do these things. It's all possible. I know that. The only thing is about my son. I have to take care of that first. And I've already. We could leave. We could leave. I'm already thinking about what should I take with me, my books, my two Bibles and my concordance.
Well, you can bring your Bible. She needs at least one.
Well, no, your Bible, yeah, but leave all your commentaries and concordances there. That's heavy, and we're not dragging it around.
With Michael and then me and then Yako.
Alicia got something.
Okay. Who's got, still got something?
Alicia.
Well, okay. Michael and then Alicia.
Okay. Linda, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to anybody that's listening, that's thinking about how to get over here. You've gotten what I was coming up next. You've got that all taken care of. My understanding is only your son has got to be taken care of, and then you can make your move. There's many of us, Kimberly and I both, we didn't know each other. I came over in August 2015. She came in September 2015. We met each other, and a year later we got married. We both had the same story. We came over here with two bags of luggage and a carry-on, and I gave just about everything I had away. I sold a little bit of it, but nearly everything I just gave it away. I had a car with 267,000 miles on it that was still running fine. And one of my good friends was a mechanic, and I said, "Here, you can." He drove me to the airport, and then he took my car, and he owned the car. So if y'all, when you're confident that Yahweh has told you to come here, then just start doing everything that is possible to get here. There's going to be a point where we're not going to be allowed to buy and sell.
Right.
So you might as well dump what you got now. If it's not something that you can get over here, if that's holding you up, then you need to find something else to do about that, because we've been over here a little over 5 years now, and I haven't missed anything that I left behind. And I picked up a wife on the way.
And the wife has, first of all, Linda, I apologize that I was not able to get my phone to dial your phone this past week. I tried every combination of prefixes on that number that you gave me. Nothing was working. And, you know, I had intended either this evening or tomorrow to call you on Messenger so that we can talk. But like Michael, I wanted to say we came with nothing. And, I mean, if you were here and you looked around, you would see that is not the situation with us now. I tell people, see, I brought two suitcases and a carry-on, and look what came out. A husband and all this furniture and all this stuff. But I want to take you all, Charles, Alicia, Linda, Hines, you're the ones that need to hear this. It's in 2 Chronicles. It's chapter 30 and verse 6. Now, this is when Hezekiah was reinstituting the Passover in the second month. And he sent out letters to the northern tribes. This is one of the ways that we know that not all the northern tribes were taken into captivity, or not all the members of the tribes were taken into captivity, because he sent a letter up north and he said, come down to Passover in Jerusalem. In verse 6, he said, you children of Israel. So he recognized that the northern tribes were as much Israel as the Jews were. Turn again to Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers and therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord. In other words, get down here and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Now, what does this have to do? Because he's calling people to Jerusalem. We're calling people to come here. Verse 9 says, for if you turn again to the Lord, your brethren and children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. The promise that if we go to the place where Yahweh said, which now is no longer Jerusalem, in the end of days, it's this wilderness.
Yes.
Because we're not going to be going to Jerusalem again.
Not until Yeshua comes.
They're going to require vaccinations to cross that border.
Yeah.
It's Jerusalem is not the place that we're being called to anymore. It's the wilderness.
That's right.
But the promise stands. If you will do this, your children, Ezekiel said, you know, that Daniel, Job, and Noah couldn't do what the people will do in the end of days. What was that? Deliver their children. The first generation in the wilderness lost their children. It was the grandchildren that went in and took the land.
Yeah.
From 20 years old and up, they didn't go. Their children didn't go.
Right.
So this promise of Hezekiah's and Ezekiel telling us what will happen in the end of days, that Noah and Daniel and Job couldn't do, deliver the children to the land. We're going to deliver our children to the land, but we have to do this thing called going to where Yahweh said to go. That's what you have to do. You have to go where he said to go.
And I want to go on formal defense for Kimberly and say what she's not saying. She's not saying don't go to Jerusalem for the feasts.
Right.
She didn't say that. We still should try to go there if we can. But with what they've structured now, it makes it dicey if we can or will. What that entails, what's going on with that?
Thank you, Brandon.
I think we should. I still want to go, even though this crap's going on. But you know what I mean. I'm not taking a microchip that's going to track me in my body. Obviously
no,
not.
No.
So that's really frustrating. But they haven't required that yet. So we're going to see in spring. Can we go?
Yes. So, if we can go, we're going to go.
Right. We're going to go to Jerusalem. But eventually, when the Antichrist totally arises, we won't be going for the feast during the 42 months in Jerusalem. We would be here in Jordan, Janan, Al-Basriya, Karak, Tafila, Petra, Batra, Mount Baran, which is near Petra. We would be gathered in that larger area. How many get here, I don't know. What's your circumstances to get here, I don't know. But I will tell you this. It's hard here. It's not easy. And I will tell you what somebody told me. If you're called here, God will change you and you'll be here. If not, it will chew you up and spit you out. Well, I've seen that happen too. That was Jerry that said that. And I will say what I have experienced. I love you guys. You guys are like on the front line with us. You're hearing this information now. This is not of anybody in particular, but I have friends. There's a guy that's supposed to be on here right now with us that's not here. And what's holding him is his small children. This is where it gets really ugly. We want to obey the scripture, and it's like, what do I do? Do I leave my sick dad behind? Do I leave my sick son behind to do this? What about them if they're going to die? Well, you know, I think God has mercy. There's a lot of people that will never come here. They will die. You will die out there. I don't mean that in a particular person. And you will be resurrected, and you'll be given your reward at the Bema Seat. And I don't know where you're going to be at in the city or in the land, or how much of it you get or don't get. That's above my pay grade. But there's a lot of people that will come here. And this is between you and him, and you have to take up your cross. This is the whole leave your father and mother behind in your own life and your children and your grandkids and everything you think you know. And you thought you knew how to speak Hebrew or Arabic. You thought you understood the Bible, but you didn't. Because then you get here and you find out a whole bunch of stuff, and you think you knew what was going on because you watch the news and you know the Middle East, but you don't have a clue what's going on. Then you come over here and you live here. No, you come and you live here and you see what the deal really is. He can call the people out of these brown people we're next to and leave everybody in America in here. He's completely capable of doing that. There's at least 144,000 people laying around here, if not more. It doesn't have to be from these Western countries that we come from. He doesn't need us. That's scary. I'm saying that, ain't it? And y'all are listening to me. So, I mean, that's how I'm seeing myself. I'm like, Lord, please keep me here. I don't want to leave. I don't want to fail my wilderness tests. You know, I'm trying to get a real grasp on this. And I'm not without sin. I don't even know what sin is. How do I even know what sin is unless I know the law? And I don't even know the law like I know the law. So I'm always fine. No, I did that. I've been doing that. I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't even think about this. I mean, it's a constant unfolding. You knew my unfolding in the womb before I existed. There's a literal Hebrew translation of what David was saying about his predestination. We can't tell you guys what to do other than to step out on that bridge you can't see like in Indiana Jones. He jumps out there, you know, and
your time, I can tell you this.
Your time is your time.
I can tell you that I haven't... this is not the first time that I'm contemplating to leave a country and leave a family behind. I've already done that over 30 years ago. I left my kids behind and my country, and I came here to Germany to marry Heinz, which at first I was not wanting to do it. I saw that... It could have been God's will. I saw a lot of problems, and I didn't want to go that far. And then God did something to convince me that's the way to go. He wanted me to come here to Germany. So it's not the first time that I'm leaving behind anything. I left a beautiful place. First of all, I had to give up a marriage. I give up a husband and two children. I had to go through a divorce because of my belief. And then I came here, to start a new life with a new language and a culture. But I have actually no fear. To come to the Middle East. I was married 17 years with an Iranian. I'm aware of a lot of the culture and how the people think. So I think I would fit in on my side. Heinz has traveled a lot in his years. Australia, he was in Jerusalem. He was in Uganda. He was in Kenya. He's been around in America, of course, too. He's been there. So I don't think I can say he has, not a problem going to another country either. So that's a plus on our side.
Alicia had something.
Okay, go ahead, Alicia.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, especially to Linda, Acts 16:31 says you and your household shall be saved. So you got to look at this just being temporary. Because when Messiah comes, it's going to be eternal. And that's where your child will come and be with you, and all shall take its place where it needs to be. So you have to look at this just being temporary, this world, because when the new world comes of the Messiah and his people, it will be eternal, and there's nothing going to stop that.
Yeah.
Hurry on here, Alisa.
Okay, I'm trying to, but I don't have a passport.
And when you get it, you start it.
Lack of money stopping that, but God will, if I'm going to get it, he'll supply the need, and that's it.
How much is the passport?
130 or somewhere like that. Sure, you can be.
I'll pay for my passport.
I'm sorry, who said that?
I will pay for your passport. That's Cheryl.
Baby, come on.
Come on, dog.
Okay, Mark, you had something?
Just kind of relating off of something that that was said a bit earlier. That what do you do? You know, talking about get there if you can, or what do you do if you've been there and they threw you out, and the government said get out and stay out, and you've called the embassy back in the U.S. and they said it's. We're not going to get into that. It's permanent. Or do we just call ourselves those that have been chewed up and spit out?
Well, there are those that are going to flee Judea at the time when Yeshua said, those who are in Judea flee, which is when you see the king of the north come down and he destroys the altar that will have been built, and he desolates that altar. It's going to be a lot of people fleeing mm-hmm. out of there.
You won't have to have a entry. You just come.
Well, but if this is the bad place and you're in the place of safety, maybe temporarily I need to run to the place of safety.
Yeah.
We have no guarantee that we are safe here yet. The place of safety will only be after those days.
Yes, we have to make it to them, and we have to get to those places, Petra, Basra, and so forth. So, and Gilead is up north. So, anyway, Gilead and Carmel, and there are other places besides here.
So that's what Mark.
We flee south or north?
Well, Mount Carmel is north.
Well, that's what I'm asking. What would she do?
So if you were in our shoes, where would you flee? Not what the Lord says is when you see the abomination of desolation, you know, flee to the hills.
We are in the hills.
We're in the hills of Jerusalem now. We're perched on the side of a mountain in a valley, kind of. Maybe we're there.
So the tent of the king of the north will stretch from Jerusalem over to the Mediterranean Sea. But that does not mean his troops will not be going into those hills. You want to get east of that and get into the wilderness. The other places may be safe, but the wilderness is where his bride will be prepared. There's a distinction between safe places and keeping and getting the bride ready. Because, you know, the bridesmaids, they get ready in a different room than the bride. I mean, she might have 6 or 7 bridesmaids, and they're all in their own rooms getting ready to be bridesmaids. But the bride has her special place to get ready. For us, that's the wilderness. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Mount Carmel is one of the safe places at the top. It does say those who are in the top of the mountain of Mount Carmel will look down and see all of the what's going on, which is the war.
Armageddon. Because it overlooks the Jezreel Valley.
Right.
Something to think about. During wartime, borders kind of disappear for a little while.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's going to be chaos. This is what happened when Saigon fell. Michael Rood tells us about somebody who actually went to Saigon as it was falling. And he protected him during a mortar attacks and like that, bringing women and children out to the tarmac where he was supposed to leave, and he was able to get all those women and children out of Saigon as it was falling. And during chaos times, things are not the way they are now. Solid borders, fences, and everything, things kind of melt away during war. And
that's how he's going to do
you,
it.
You could possibly wind up on this side, and nobody's going to say a thing. You're a refugee at that point.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, Mark and Michelle, for you guys.
And who knows? With all the stuff going on, we all may be refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So, at a more immediate concern, I'm looking at online. Who's the Craig bot up there? We've got a Craig there that says he's a bot.
Oh.
A Craig was supposed to be a bot that records everything, but Craig refused to work. So Craig is not in the room at this point.
Craig's a Democrat, huh?
It's a Sabbath. He doesn't want to work.
Okay.
That's hard.
Okay, Linda, you got something.
Yeah, I lost my trend of thought. I had something to say, and I lost my trend of thought.
Okay.
That happens to all.
When the train comes back through, just yell at us.
I have a thought.
Go ahead.
Yahweh does have a plan for each one of us, our lives, and when we do hear from him, we must obey. There are certain promises that gives those that have come to Edom. In my heart, I feel like those that take the plunge to obey the Lord, to come to Edom when he's told them to, he will take care of them. He will protect them because of all that I have read about
Edom. Edom was destroyed before. It's going to be destroyed again. But it, even though that doesn't mean every person will die, okay? But he has assured us, even in the book of Daniel, even in Revelation, from what I understand, that he will protect us, Psalm 91, as Elisa has so many times reminded me. So our faith is what keeps us going forward. Now, if it is once for us to die before the marriage supper with Yeshua, you know, so be it. But I don't know. I just, all I've read, it appears we will be protected. And I think those that are here now are protected as we walk each day in our faith. That's my opinion.
Okay, Linda, I see you have something now.
Yes, there were two things I had on my mind. I did see shortly on the internet that Israel was offering flights, and they were advertising something about a second temple, and that is to be in the springtime in March. But then somehow.
That came out of the United Arab Emirates, out of Abu Dhabi, out of one of the commercial airlines that is going to be doing airline flights back and forth to Israel. And the Arabs complained about it, so they took that second temple thing off of their advertisement. But we're not looking for the second temple. We're looking for the third temple.
Right.
Exactly.
This is not going to be Ezekiel's temple, by the way. It's going to be the temple of the Antichrist. Yeah. They say it's the Ezekiel temple, but it's not. Go ahead.
Yeah, that I know too. The other thing is, I wanted to ask, are there other people online with us now that do not live in Jordan, that they live somewhere else like us?
Yes.
Yes.
America and Israel.
Charles is in
Cyprus.
Yeah, Mark and Michelle here. We live 8 miles west of Jerusalem in an Arab village called Abu Ghosh. Uh-huh. And we like it.
Charles, you still there?
And is it a problem to go to Jordan?
For Mark and Michelle, it is.
Yeah, for now.
And we're special cases. It's a problem.
You will not have that problem.
Yeah, you will not have our problem.
Is Charles still with us?
I see him. Yes.
I'm here.
Charles. I see Charles.
why don't you tell them, I mean, you originally came from the United States.
Right.
Why don't you tell them the story?
Okay. Well, I knew where I needed to be. And it wasn't in the United States. Oh, I made the decision. I know the times. So I left everything. I came with two bags. And the only way I could leave the United States in these COVID times, because United States was a red country, was able to go to Ireland. So I went to Ireland for 22 days. So I quarantined for 14, and then I can't remember. I guess it was, I'm real leery of the testing, and so I'm working on that. So I came to Cyprus, which is way up on the list of green countries. I don't think it will ever not be green. And so that's where I've been at this particular time. And so, yes, I read. I listen. I know they're going to push this fake vaccine. Well, fake as far as doing what they propose it to do. But that's factoring into my considerations as to what kind of decisions I need to be making right now.
Okay. Thank you, Charles.
Yes.
Well, listen. Linda, I will be giving you a call. I don't know if tonight I need to meet with somebody here in a congregation. I don't know how long that's going to take, but if not tonight, I will let you know that. I'll message you, and then I'll call you tomorrow, okay. And we can talk. Let's, you know what we should do in this group is we should be praying. Let's pray for our people that are not here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
I have a question real fast.
Okay.
Charles, it's for Charles.
Yes.
Charles, how long are you going to be able to stay in Cyprus before your visa runs out?
Well, that has already run out, but I've started the process of what's needed for me to stay for a year.
Okay. All right. Just was wondering how long they'd let you stay there. Okay.
Yeah, they let you stay here for 90 days, and then you have to go through a process. And unfortunately, I've found out that Cyprus has a crooked government. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
And so, unfortunately, what was mentioned, I was just saying, unfortunately, like what was mentioned previously, if you don't have an income and some finances to work through these systems, you know, it makes it difficult. I'm very sad to say that. But you know, it can be done.
Okay.
Well, let's pray for our folks.
Yes.
And then we'll dismiss our meeting. And then if you guys want to hang out online after we dismiss, then we can do that. And when I pray, if there's anybody online or anybody in this room who wants to pray, we should do that. And I am going to, in fact, let's stand and face Jerusalem. And we're going to sing the Shema before we pray.
Hey, Kimberly.
Yeah.
Can I start? You finish, and we go through that.
We're gonna sing the Shema, and
then we're
welcome to anybody that wants to pray can pray.
Okay. Before we start, we have to do this in order. Otherwise, it's gonna be chaos, especially for the online people. So we'll start with Charles and. Okay. Count about 10 seconds. If the next person didn't start, we go to the next person. So after Charles, Alicia Vaughn, Gary, Yaku recording, I'm going to skip. Kimberly, I'm going to skip. So after Gary, we will go to Linda, then Mark and Michelle, and then we will start in the room with Kimberly.
Okay, that's good.
Do you want me to blow my shofar?
No, what we're going to do now, we're going to do the Shema, and then Charles is going to start the prayer session.
Can we have the shofar, though, at the end?
We can blow shofars at the end, but we're not going to blow shofars at the beginning.
Yes.
We're going to do the Shema.
Okay.
Then Charles is going to pray.
Right.
And then anybody else that wants to pray that's online, you pray. And then we'll start going around the room, and we pray. And I'll be the first one to start in this room.
And then you will end as well.
And then that's a good idea. I'll end. And then we can blow the shofar, and then we can get our shofars too if we want. Okay, let's do the Shema. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto. Leolam Vareh Yeshua HaMashiach V'Gadol Olam.
Great, Charles.
Father, we come before you and we praise and we honor and rejoice in who you are, for your name is holy and precious, for you love us with an eternal love. And it's your plan that you are working out, that we are diligently working on trying to learn and to understand more completely. Thank you for loving us. And Father, in these times, which have been written in scripture for thousands of years, we will live in these times. We pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding. We pray for right choices. I pray for everyone who is a part of this group, Father, that they will know the choices to make and when to make them, and knowing that there is a right place to be. For not only is this spiritual, but it is also physical. And we're called to be in the place that you have called us to be. And so, Father, I pray now, as what Scripture tells us, that we understand what Ephesians states, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Father, because this world is not yours, it is the enemy's, yet you inserted salvation through Yeshua, and we have chosen that. And Father, we pursue your word in attempting to completely understand and to follow that. So Father, we are dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places, for that's what it has been, and it still is until your final kingdom is put into place. And so Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for working what you're working, and that we understand and have the knowledge that we have now. So as most people here have removed themselves and still attempt to remove themselves from this world and be a part of your calling, we pray for your working in each life here. And we praise and honor you, for you are the beginning and the end. And our salvation comes through the love of Yeshua and what he has expressed to us. For Father, he told us, and we read it in Scripture, that he is from above and the wicked ones are from below. Teach us the truth of your word each day. We praise and we honor you in your name.
And Father, I just pray right now, what God puts together, the Elohim of Israel, the only true living God, nothing will pull that apart. You make a way in the desert. You make a way that our steps are ordered by you. You said, sweet and blessed are the feet of those who spread the good news of Torah. And Father, we just praise you and thank you right now. Release Michael and his warring angels to do spiritual battle and bind Satan and his demons, strip them of their power, separate them one from the other, and cover them with the blood of Messiah till they drowned in it. Blind their eyes and deafen their ears. They can't see what we're doing, where we're going, or what we're talking about. That you cover us completely and that our faith be built up so, because we know it's faith that moves the Father. And we just thank you right now, Father, that doesn't matter what kind of situation it is, you always have a door or a window for us to go through. And we just thank you right now that these things be done in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Jolanda, we're moving to you.
Mark, Michelle, do you have a prayer?
Yeah, Father God, we do. We ask for your wisdom, Lord. We ask for your wisdom to pour upon each and every one of us. Father, these are the days that we need to know which way to go, whether we should go left or we should go right. And I thank you, Father, that you will be with us, that you will never leave us, that you are here right now, that you are guiding our steps this very second. But Father, I'd ask that you would increase our ability to hear you, increase our ability to see, hear, and understand what you're doing. Father, I ask that you would, like everyone else says, that you'd protect us, Father, in these coming days, Lord, that you would cover us with your wings, Lord, that you would make us people who are bold and not afraid to speak your truth,
yes, Lord.
Lord, that we would not love our lives more than loving you. Father, I'd ask that you would give us great courage, Father, that we would speak your words to everyone we meet, Lord, that we would be your hands and your feet in these last days.
Lord, let us hold fast to your commands and to the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, even unto death.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you that we are able to be unified in prayer. Thank you for letting us pray together and meet together and discuss and seek your will. We thank you and praise you for that. We thank you and praise you for calling to us in the end of days to come and be here or be wherever you want us all to be. I pray for everybody here and everybody online that we will all make wise decisions regarding your will, what we are supposed to do, how we're supposed to work toward fixing the problems that have been presented to us here and to those who are trying to get here. I pray for Linda and Hines that you will solve their problem and help them in the event that they are able to come here and the heart-wrenching decision that is being made to leave children. We understand that, but we also understand the promise that our households will be saved, that when we come to the place where you tell us to be, that our children will be given compassion out there with their captors. And I pray for all of our children in this room. I pray for Mark and Michelle and their children and their situation, which looks like it could prevent them from coming. But we know that your will Amen. Be done. Amen. And I pray for Charles Amen. For whatever decision he is having to make, that you will make it clear to him what he is supposed to do. And for Elisa as well, that, you know, make a way for her to be able to come.
Amen.
And Father, comfort them. We're here in Jordan now, and we know that our children will follow. We believe that. We trust that. But it's hard when you're leaving children to know that, you know, they will come. But Father, I just pray Amen. For everybody in this room as well, that we will continue to keep the faith, that we will continue to be unified as a group, even when we disagree with things that may come up and we discuss in the scriptures. But we love each other, and we are your family. And we just ask you to be with us, guide us, direct us. And we just keep the faith and keep on walking, because we do have the whole armor on. And the promise that you will be with us. You told Abraham that you are his shield. Well, we are his children, and you are our shield.
Yes.
So we trust you, Father. Mm. We trust in you, Yeshua. Right. And we keep the testimony of Yeshua, and we keep the commandments. We praise you in advance for making us into overcomers during these coming days. Mm. In Yeshua's name.
Father, just ask you, and particularly in these times, that you give us spiritual eyes and ears to be able to see and hear in the Spirit, and that you will guide us in a way that we, even though we've had times where we've had supernatural guidance, I'm asking you that as these days move forward, that will be significant part of our lives, each one of us, that we can hear you clearly and see you and not have to choose not to fret over decisions that have to be made. Just know that there are going to be decisions to be made, and to not be fearful, but to follow you as quickly as you have shown us the next step. We know that things are drawing towards the end. We don't know how long that is at all. You made it clear that we won't know, but things are happening so quickly now. The United States has completely lost their minds, at least half of them anyway. We just ask that you would protect those that are on your side that hear you, and there's going to be many that are going to hang in there at the United States no matter what. And I pray that your will be done in that election so it ends exactly the way you want it to end. We just praise you and worship you, and we give you all glory and blessing in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Father, we just come before you, and we give you thanksgiving and honor for allowing us to be here in your land. And for those who are coming, we just pray that you would give them a steadfast courage, that they would continue on in your plan, and that you bring them here safely.
We pray for those who were left behind that you would enlighten them, let them understand, open their eyes, their ears, that they may hear your word to tell them to come. Our friends and our family that we've all left behind, that their eyes and their hearts would be open, that they would hear your calling to come out of her, my people, and that you'd not share in her destruction, and that this is not just for America, but all those civilizations are built around Babylon, that you would call them, and they would hear your calling as a shepherd talks to his sheep, that they would hear and understand. I ask that you would be with Yaakov, and that you would give him peace in this situation he's in. Be with Lisa and Hines, that you would be with them, and in this time that they would have to make this decision of which way they want to go. Do they come here? Do they stay there? That you encourage them to do what you're calling them to do. And we ask for all those who are thinking about that you would encourage them, that you would talk to them as you did with us, and that you would guide them in ways and how to come, even though things look bleak, things look shut, things look closed, that you have a way of opening and a way of that where no one can close that door until all is accomplished that you have. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Precious Father, we just adore you. We love you. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for how you've been taking care of all of us, wherever we are. You have given us, Abba, your roadmap, which is the Bible. So many scriptures of, if we do this and this, obeying your commandments, that you will take care of us. Those that are living by faith, living in the secret place that you have said in Psalm 91:1, that we will be under your wing. So we thank you for that promise. We thank you for the promise that if we keep your commandments, that you will be there for us. We love you and adore you. We thank you for everyone online that is not in the land yet, that you will especially be with them today. Speak to their hearts, showing them your will for their lives. And I do pray, Abba, that your will be done in all of our lives in this room and online, that we will hear your voice and walk accordingly each day. And I thank you for your way and what you have planned for each of our lives. We thank you ahead of time and bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
And Father, I forgot that these will be appointed times and it will reach our destiny in Yeshua's name.
Hey, Elisa, if you want to blow your shofar.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a shofar here, but I don't see. Oh, there it is.
Rick's broken.
Come and get it for Rick.
Well, I see how it is.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
She's muted, so if she did, we wouldn't hear
her.
Okay.
I just
I wish we could have heard it, though, because it's healing to our bodies.
You want me to just blow it again? I was on mute. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, we heard it.
Okay.
Just a shofar, Revelation says that when you hear the shofar blowing, and I believe it is when God's people start to blow the shofar again, these things will happen.
Oh, good.
So we represent the shofar being blown all over
Amen.
The world.
Amen. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to end the meeting now. You can stay online and talk to each other or talk to us, but we have to do some things here. So
this has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from the Messianic Message. Thank you for listening.